Ask the Podcast Coach for November 7th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
All right, there it is. It is November 7th, the first week of November. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. If you are just now hearing this, join us over at askthepodcastcoach.com/live, where we are there every Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. And I'm Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, and joining me as well, always, the one and only, don't be fooled by those cheap imitations, those cheap knockoffs, the Kim Jollison. I saw that. I was like, no, there's no Kim Jollison. It's Jim Collison from theaverageguy.tv. And Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Good to be with you on another Saturday morning. I seem to be trying to find unique places to join Ask the Podcast Coach today. I'm in a conference room. We're on the last Saturday of our high school internship program here at Gallup. And, you know, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, I had some problems in the studio. I've been trying to get our networking guys to troubleshoot that and get that figured out. So today I brought in my Surface Pro 3. So I'm coming to you live off a Surface Pro 3 from a conference room on the other side of the building, nice, hoping that the Wi-Fi holds up and everything's working. I did contemplate Starbucks again. That was another, maybe another option for me, is to drive. We have a Starbucks just down the street. But no, getting it done. Brought the microphone in, brought the ATR 2100 in, working off the Surface Pro 3, fresh back from the MVP conference in Seattle from last week. Had a great conference, got a chance to visit the Channel 9 studios there at Microsoft. And if you've never seen a Channel 9 production, it's some pretty cool stuff. I learned a few things about taking your video production up a notch.
Up a notch.
So we'll maybe share a little bit of that later.
Yeah, it's always interesting. I know we had a lot of fun last week with you in your car.
It actually worked.
It actually
did listen work. I listened to it. It sounds pretty good. I was surprised.
So the big news this week, I guess it was big news. Libsyn finally put out their plugin to the public, and there's a video for this. Let me give you that. I'll throw that in the chat room. And it's interesting. And I love their transparency, because in their video, they go to install it and they had a bit of a bug. But here's the thing that everybody is trying to do. They're like, oh, cool. And this is especially for PowerPress users, which I use PowerPress on a number of my sites. And then on the School of Podcasting, I use Libsyn's feed. But these do not play well together. In fact, they don't play well together at all. So you cannot use PowerPress and Libsyn's plugin. So you can use Libsyn hosting and the PowerPress plugin, but you can't use, this is going to be even more confusing now that we have a plugin. But the Libsyn plugin and the PowerPress plugin are direct competitors, and they do not play at all together. So if you wanted to use the Libsyn plugin, now what does it do? It lets you upload your MP3 file directly to the Libsyn media hosting account from WordPress. Okay, sounds great. But if you want to use, you have to go in and change every single episode that you have. It's not an easy process. So basically, what I'm telling people, if you're a brand new podcaster and you want to use it, that would be the time to use it. If you're someone who has, you know, more than 20 episodes, you probably don't want to, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right. So I'm definitely not, going to be uploading, but a lot of confusion kind of went out because people are uploading and going, wait, it said it can't do this. And I'm like, no, don't change unless you really want to spend an afternoon copying and pasting and copying and pasting and copying. And it would take, I've yet to really look into what it would take, but because you need PowerPress, let's see, on to get the link to the URL, unless you want to go back into Libsyn. It would just be, it's a bit of a, I don't know if it's nightmare status, but you got to be careful with that. Yeah, there we go. And our hero has arrived, Miss Eileen, who before the show, we could not figure out why Dave was getting this weird slapback echo. It sounded like I was Elvis singing in the 50s. And Miss Eileen said, I bet you have two browsers open. And sure enough, I had two, closed one, and problem solved. So Miss Eileen, thank you so much for helping us with that.
You're welcome. I found that with the live embed, I'd embed it on my blog. And then, of course, you know, I'm just so happy it's on there. I leave it open. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I had my audience freaking out one day too. Like, oh my God, somebody jump in here and make sure I'm on. And then I was like, oh yeah. Then after I refreshed, I was like, oh yeah, you feel real dumb.
So that, so
now I'm a pro at telling people, make sure you only have one browser open.
Yeah. Cause I was on the live page. So the minute that thing went live, it just kicked into gear, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh, it's,
that's, you know, so easy.
There's no delay. Okay, and this isn't really a question. This is just a comment, and maybe somebody else may want to give some feedback on this. I'm noticing a trend with a lot of podcasters, especially in the marketing space, but it may be something other areas want to catch on to. With every episode, they are making some type of a download, some type of a checklist or guide or, right, you know, and growing their email list, according to them, by leaps and bounds by doing this. And I know it's a lot of work, guys, or can be, depending upon what the free download looks like. But it may be something that some podcasters may want to think about integrating into their workflow. You know, you got to do show notes anyway. Maybe just have a little extra something that you can give folks, because, you know, you want to build your email list.
Yeah.
Most of us do anyway.
I'm working on an equipment guide as we speak.
Okay, cool. I mean, even if it's the same one, you know, right, like Amy Porterfield and I think Pat Flynn's starting to do it now. They're doing different ones for each episode, which I think you got to have a
team.
That's
crazy. Yeah.
You can't do that, you know, unless you have VAs and AAs and all that other stuff. But, you know, I do think having some type of a guide that is going to come up, like with, like you just said, Dave, in the course of the show, you're going to have some questions that I'm sure are going to be answered in whatever your download is. And you can just always tell people, go to that live page and click on that link and get on that list.
Yeah, it's a way to, especially a lot of times you'll give a topic and you'll go fairly deep. And then you're like, there's actually more to this. And then you'll say, if you want more, go over there and click for the sign up and get my special report, blah, blah, blah. The deal there is to always give value. And then for those people that want to do a deep dive, and those are the people you want on your list, the people that are going to do the deep dive. So,
oh yeah. And actually James Schramko was the first one, cause I saw somebody say transcript. Sorry, I couldn't read the whole comment. Mm. He was just doing the transcript of every episode.
Yeah.
And, but, well, you know, he's a genius when it comes to building his list. And he's one of those guys that actually open his emails when I get it.
But here's my question. Have you ever read a transcript?
I don't. But
I'm going to say me either.
But I'm not a reader. I'm a visual learner, right, and I like podcasts. So, you know, but some folks are like, especially if they're coming across them the first time, or depending upon how good your content is, people are like, oh my God, that was amazing. I would love to have that so I could print it out and look at it again. You never know. I mean, doesn't really hurt much if you've got an assistant who does the transcript, or you pay one of these services. It costs $1
a minute,
an hour, a minute, or I don't know. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there as to see if some people want to integrate that.
Got it. And where can people find your stuff?
Oh, eileensmith.com/live. That's where you get all my live blabs.
Beautiful.
And I'm starting up my podcast again.
Excellent. That's good to hear.
Okay. Awesome. So you guys have a wonderful day.
All right.
See you, Eileen.
Talk to you guys later. Yep. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
You know, Dave, so she mentions, or, you know, we mentioned that at Gallup here for the Gallup podcast, we have this program called Theme Thursday, and it relates to every single one of those themes, you know, those talent themes that we talked about with you a couple weeks ago, or maybe that was just last week. And we create a landing page that has a sign up on it for them. You know, we gather a little bit of information, and then we provide that free companion. We call it a companion guide. It's really just a 2-page front and back, a little graphic thing we've put together that allows people as they're going through the program to take notes, and some download it and some don't. This is the thing. It's not, and you know, to podcast nerd out in the chat, he said transcripts are full of fluff. While I agree with that, there are people who want to read it. I get this all the time. When we launched the Gallup podcast, I had people asking me, do you have a transcript? And so the question isn't, should you, it's, you sh- and he says, or someone else said bullet points. Well, that's very subjective, right? You might like bullet points. Somebody else might like transcripts. Guess what? You have to provide both, right? If you're going to do it and you're going to do it right, there will be people who will read your transcripts. And I think to say it's full of fluff is a pretty negative statement, right? For someone who has high input and likes to read every single word, they wouldn't think that's fluff. And so provide it for them. Don't be negative about it. Don't, if they want it, they'll take it. You don't have to read it. If you don't want, if you don't like it, don't read it if it's provided for you. If you like the bullet points, go to the show notes, get whatever that's involved there. But I think anything that you can do that fits within your production window, I mean, if you have the resources to do a transcript and you can, why wouldn't you? Right? It's not good or bad. It's just if you can, do it. It doesn't hurt you. Hanny made that section for transcripts inside the Simple Podcast Player where it hides that, but it still gets the SEO. Why wouldn't you? So anyways, it's not a right or wrong. I think sometimes we approach these things and it's like right or wrong. This is like, if you can do it, provide it. If you can't, don't, then don't.
Yeah. And I would Addie had mentioned that you might want to edit those before they go out. And that's where you can start, adding up a bunch of time, or if we had, transcript or going, I don't know, refresh, try again. Hey, click, in the same way that I edit, I've been trying to edit that kind of stuff out of the podcast. I would also want to get that out of the transcript. But on the other hand, there are plenty of people that this will be a great segue. If you're bored today, I'm going to put a link in the it's there under the player on askthepodcastcoach.com/life. If you got a buck, I have yet another Amazon story. That book, which is called My Favorite Podcast Is. And it talks about how it basically takes what I'm doing every year. In fact, if you want to do that, if you go to schoolpodcasting.com/favorite and say what your favorite podcast is and why, every year I turn that into a book as well as my last episode of the year. And the fun thing is, whatever email that you use for your Amazon associate, check it on a regular basis. Now, my problem is my email for the Logical Weight Loss Podcast has been overrun with just junk. I don't know whose email list I got on. And in the email, now I only got the last one that said, this is your last chance. You need to do this on your Amazon account or you're done. And it was something where you had to go in and list every site that you had Amazon links on and say, these are not geared towards people under 13. I got it. I sent it to my Asana as a thing to do on Monday. I went on a Monday and it said, you're done, buddy. You had a day to do it and you're gone. So I go over to their chat. I'm like, hey, here's the deal. I've added those. Can you guys turn me back on? And of course, their answer was no. Yeah. So I had to set up yet another Amazon account. And if you click on the book underneath this video at askthepodcastcoach.com/live, you need to have an affiliate sale sometime for them to go, I've been approved, but I think they're kind of testing to see if I can sell anything. So if you got a buck, go to askthepodcastcoach.com/live and you can get the book My Favorite Podcast Is for 99 cents. And you can see what transcriptions look like. Now, in that book, to bring it back to where we originally were, I say these are transcripts. The other thing, Eileen asked, do I do my transcriptions? No, I use a website. Let me make sure I have the right website. I believe it's just REVS. And the reason for that, I've used other ones in the past. No, it's not REVS. Because that's under construction. It's something of that nature, though. REV, I know Pat Flynn uses them as well, but I actually found them before Pat did. Yeah, REV.com, 99 cents.
Well, but you don't write the book don't write a book and sell it for 99 cents to make money.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's not the intent of it.
Yeah, so I use REV.com. I forget the other one I used to use. I mean, in the end, you just want it to be accurate. And it gets a little trickier if you have two people. Like getting this show's transcribed would be a little tricky. But I did a test. This was years ago where I had like a month's worth of stuff transcribed and put it out there. And I actually put it as the show notes. The show notes were monstrous. And I didn't see I saw a little bit of a little bump, but not to the point that I wanted to spend $60 a month on transcripts, because my show's an hour long. So there's, a buck a minute. It's like $60 an episode. Then I was like, ouch. So I've tried Dragon Naturally Speaking. I'd have to go back and play with that to see. So
that's one of the things. Let me shift gears a little bit. I got a little feedback when I was at the conference this week. I actually ran into a few of my listeners out there who are MVPs that listen to our shows. And via Twitter, we found each other at the conference. And I said, hey, I want some honest feedback. You know, tell me what you think. And you know, the first one was, oh, your intro is a little long. And, you know, I take 2 or 3 or 4 minutes to get to the point on our podcast. And I will probably go back and look at my, I have a written script that I kind of use. And I don't read it word for word, but it gave me some feedback like, yeah, maybe I should, I've gotten that feedback before. Maybe I should tighten that up, move some stuff to the end. You know, I probably try to give too much information in the very beginning of the show when people just want to listen to it. So I'll move, some of that to the end. But the other piece, you know, I got from them was just to continue when we think about this topic of show notes and stuff like that, that just make sure you get when you say you're going to put a link in the show notes, actually go back and put that link in there. You know, it's this idea of brand and being consistent in what you do. I hear a lot of podcasters say, oh, we'll get that into the show notes. And then they don't for whatever reason. And so I think just be in that area of show notes, that kind of stuff. If you say you're going to deliver it, make sure you get it in there. And so it was some good feedback. That, by the way, I recommend you constantly get feedback from your audience in what you're doing. I mean, ask for it, be willing to take it on the chin. Your stuff is never as good as you think it is. You know, it's just a good idea to ask some questions and then implement some changes. Don't be afraid to get in there and implement the changes.
Well, I'm always, I used to many times with the School of Podcasting, I would start off with, here's what's going on in the news of podcasting, or it would be because of my podcast story or something like that. I'm not going to do news at the front of a show anymore because I found a couple other podcasts. And when you go back and find them months later, it's outdated. I mean, think about it. My last show or before that, I was talking about Google Play. Well, in, you know, 2016, that's going to be like, oh, that was funny. They were talking about Google Play getting into podcasting. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to do news. It means I'm going to put it at the end because I want that first thing to be some sort of evergreen. Because that is the one cool thing about a podcast. Yes, there's the 30-second skip and the 60-second skip and things like that, but everybody starts at the beginning. You don't download a show typically and start at the 2-minute mark. I used to do that with different shows. I would just fast, you know, skip. But I was like, I might, because I found a show. I forget what it was, but they did news, but it wasn't all news. I just went, you know, I'm not anti-news because people want to hear that. But I think I'm going to start putting that at the end because I was like, wow, this is really old dated. And not that they lose their, oh, what's the word? I don't lose faith in them, but it's just kind of like, oh, all right, hold on. I gotta, you know, I'm in the habit now of fast forwarding through your podcast, and like it or not, that somehow in my Mr. Podcast brain comes across as not good content, even though it's completely understandable why it's not good content. It's old news, but I was just like, got to make that first. It's like you said, your intro. That's what made me think of that. That maybe we got to think about how we start off the show and things like that. So,
we started pretty fast here. I mean, it's very little. I mean, you know, maybe 30 seconds to a minute. You introduce me. I say a few things. Boom, we get rolling. But I definitely in my Home Gadget Geeks podcast, you know, I've worked through this progression, and so it looks like we have somebody coming in asking a question.
It is the one and only Mr. Podcast Mid-Atlantic himself. The one and only Joe Carter. Guys. Hey, buddy, how's it going?
You know what? It's going great.
From Disneyland.
Look at this guy. Nicely done.
Left to the right. I can't do this. Can you hear me all right?
Oh, you can hear me fine, Joe.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. how you been, Dave?
Good. How are you?
Magical, man. How can I be bad in the Magic Kingdom?
Yeah. That's hilarious. For anyone listening to this later, Joe literally has the Magic Castle behind him. So
yes. That's right. If you're listening and not watching,
right.
It's so hard with this little screen.
Yeah, that's
to get it to move my head.
No, you're good, man. Now, is that California or Florida? It's Florida. You're Florida.
Yeah, Florida. Yeah. Florida. Hey, I was in California like 2 months ago.
Awesome.
Of course. I wanted to chime in about the show notes and a little bit about the show openings.
Okay.
And how, you know, with, like with this new show that I'm about to launch for my school, I'm actually going away from doing an intro. I'm stuck here because of people taking pictures. I'm going away from the whole, like, let me do a 30-second intro and just moving towards actually just like a blip, like a beep as my intro. Now, in the video, it'll make sense, but in audio format, probably not as much. But I'm excited because I think that I forget who I was talking to. They were going on about how, why do intros have to be 30 seconds? Why does it have to sound like the radio? Why does it have to sound like NPR? Why does it have to sound like everything else that we're comfortable with? This is podcasting. It's supposed to be different.
Right.
It's supposed to be like an art form.
What?
But we coach on, like, so when a new person comes to the podcast, and if they don't know what it's about, Dave, I've heard you say this before on School of Podcasting. If they don't know what it is and what they're going to get, and it's the first time, this is the battle we face, right? Is that, what about these new people coming in? And if all of a sudden you just launch into it, are they going to get lost? Are they going to drop because you haven't said what the podcast is about or what you're going to do? Versus your regular listeners who, you know, are like, yeah, I've heard all that stuff before. That music is just.
It's a special Christmas version.
It's just make, you know, it's almost Christmas time. So when you listen to this in June, you know, you'll be thinking of Christmas.
Yeah. But that's, I think, this balance that we have is, you know, you want to give some kind of intro so people know what you're doing when they hit the show, especially if they're new. But how much of that do you do?
Right. And that's the beauty of it. It's your show. You can do whatever you want. I know Paul Culligan's is really quick. It's like he asked a question, you know, what does this mean for such and such and such? And then it's like, it's the podcast report with Paul Culligan. Here's Paul. That's it. That's his intro. It's like 6 seconds, something like that. And then he jumps right into the content, you know. So if you want a big one, make a big one. If you want a small one, if you want to do the Todd Cochran, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the new media show. That's his intro. You know, do that, man. So,
I think you talk about like new people listening, but as podcasters in general, we have trouble getting people to listen, you know, because it's not video. It's not right in their face. It's on Facebook, but it's a link out of Facebook to go somewhere else to get them to listen, right? It's in their app. You know, when I watch, like, if you binge watch a TV show on like Netflix or something, do you eventually like just fast forward past the intro? Because, you know, who needs to see the same 30 second or a minute if you're watching like True Detective or something where it's like a minute and a half?
Right.
Like, why does it have to be that long?
That's why there's a fast forward button?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
On the other hand,
it makes sense.
I know growing up when I was watching Johnny Carson and I heard, man, it kind of got me pumped up. And I was like, all right, here he comes. And here's Johnny. I was like, you know, and every week, you know. But on the other hand, what were they doing? They were saying tonight, you know, Johnny has Charo. I'm trying to think of old actors. Burt Reynolds and, comedian, you know, whatever. Gallagher.
Right. So they were doing something that was, I'm trying to get stuff in the background here. They were doing something to actually not just get you pumped up, but to give you the information. So
right.
In that case, recording a new intro for each and every single episode might, you know, would make sense.
Right. That's true.
Right. Instead of just saying like, or I guess take like SNL for an example, right? Like it's basically the same intro week in and week out, but they have the one part where like, oh, this is our guest and this is our guest singer.
Right. But don't they also have that opening skit? And if that opening skit isn't very good, I know I'm like, you know what? This show sucks. And I'm off to watch something else. So,
yeah. I guess I didn't count the opening skit as part of their intro, but I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to say, Joe, Joe, you're kind of breaking up. So we're going to cut you loose.
All right, I'll see you later, man.
Yeah.
Take care.
See you, Joe.
Thanks. Bye.
That was hilarious, man.
Well, it's a good example of what can be done. I mean, a lot of background noise, and you can't sustain that very long because your listeners start going, I mean, it started hurting my ears after a while. But pretty cool that you get, you know, Dave, this is an interesting point because it's how much do you put in the beginning and how much don't you? And I don't think there's a rule. This is the thing, you know, some people are going to say put a lot of stuff and some people are going to say don't put very much at all. And, you know, the question is how much do you want? I don't know if there's a right answer to this one. It's one of those things where
it's your recipe.
Yeah. You kind of got to cook it the way that you're comfortable with.
And like you said, what your audience says, man, it's like in the end, if they're like, holy cow, joining us the one and only from matttalkonline.com, not wearing a hat today.
No, I just got it done with an interview. I can't really wear hats while I'm doing interviews with certain people.
All right. So Jason Bryan.
So what does that say about us, Jason?
Right. Well, I wear a hat 99% of the time, except when I sleep and when I'm on television. So it's one of those things. And then, so Dave caught me on a Saturday where I'm not just like, I had to get up at 7 o'clock this morning to get a podcast interview done. And there's a couple things I wanted to jump in and talk about because of my experiences the last 2 days. And I'm talking about backups and having fail safes and things. And obviously, Dave, this is something you've talked about on other episodes and things of that nature. But this happened to me for the first time yesterday. So I'm going to the Women's Flat Track Roller Derby Association International Championships, which are here in Minnesota this weekend. So I got a credential. My goal here was to interview people about how roller derby and their grassroots marketing and things like that and how, you know, wrestling can do it. Well, I got my H5. I got my stick mic. I mean, I'm using a 2005 on that one, and I'm looking at it. And I do some just, you know, ambiance recording and, you know, record an intro with the background noise to give it that feel. And then I look at my battery. I'm like, okay, I got one bar and I haven't even done any interviews yet. So I was like, all right, let me grab my Roland H5 out of the bag. And so I swap the batteries out. Next thing you know, well, crap, that's only got one bar. So now I thought I had batteries set to go. I had a backup recorder, but if your backup recorder doesn't have batteries juice and your live recorder doesn't have battery juice, what was my option? Well, welcome the iPhone, Boss Jock, and the camera connection kit. So first time I'd ever have to use it. And I'm like, okay, plug it in. Saved me here because I don't know when that battery was going to go. I didn't know how much juice the other one had, and they're rechargeable batteries. I thought I had them charged. They didn't. So two things: bring extra batteries and know how many you need to have. And the Boss Jock, I just threw the iPhone into airplane mode, had that camera connection kit, used the ATR AT2005, and got them done.
Now you said you have an H5, right?
Yes.
Here's the beauty of the H5 is, yes, you can use batteries, but if you have I don't have, you know, those.
Oh, I have a USB connection, but I wasn't sitting at a table. I was walking around a venue. I plug it in everywhere I go, except this was a case I couldn't.
But here's the beauty of it. If you have one of those things that powers up your phone.
Yeah.
You can use that as your power source.
Yeah. My buddy borrowed it and didn't give it back. So
that's it.
This is the, you know, there's so many different scenarios that this freaked out with. And I'm like, all right, well, you know what? It's a 3-day event. If I bought something yesterday, I could at least had 2 more days to do it until my wife leaves for Prague for a week. So I've got daddy duty by myself for 4 days. People save me. But as far as Daniel goes, it was just that camera connection kit, the lightning cable. Since I have an iPhone 6, it worked. Light came on the 2005. So that was how I got that one done. And one thing is I'd never used Boss Jock. I'd played with it, but I'd never used it in the field. So now having that with a full battery airplane mode, you know, the quality, I went back and listened to it. I uploaded it right to Dropbox, which was nice too. And so I'm sitting there and was like, okay, well, it's nice to know that because I always carry that gear with me, whether I have it. I usually have a USB, a mini USB and a camera connection kit in my bag just in case I don't know what I'm ever going to need it for. Well, I found out. So if I would have had to go back home 20 minutes, come back, I would have lost all that stuff. And the second thing was this morning's interview, which was in a hotel restaurant.
I was going to say, how did the breakfast interview go?
That was different. And the one thing that's annoying there, and this was not her, you know, the waitress, we were the only two people in there. So the waitress kept, you know, obviously we had we used the giant squid lapel mics that Dave uses. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had good success with that the last couple of days that I've used it in various formats. And, you know, and it's like he's mid questions, like, more coffee, sir. And I'm like, Mark, Mark, and I made sure my batteries were juiced up for that after what happened yesterday. So there are definitely marks where he coughs or slurps or he's eating oatmeal. So it's one of those things that I was making sure where we were sitting, the speakers for the actual, you know, restaurant where you can hear the overhead, you know, Muzak or whatever the heck they call it now. Probably it's just a Pandora station most of the time. Well, we were underneath them, but they were facing outward because if we'd have sat over to the right, it would have been right kind of shooting down at us. So we found a table that was there, clip on lapel mics. And as far as I know, my levels were good and I had a Roland on the other side. So I was recording this one twice because, you know, a guy like John Irving, I don't get an opportunity to see him like ever. Guy's an author. He's got a new book coming out. So he wrote the Cider House Rules and the World According to Garp. So that was kind of like, you know, getting him in person. I was like, all right, let's clip on. Let's go. So lessons, backup and have a backup. Batteries, juice,
cards,
and know your environment. Yeah. So it's been an interesting last 2 days.
Mike Phillips asked, do you get much handling noise when you're out there using the 2005? You know, on these mics, if you're handling them, you will hear it.
A little bit. I didn't notice it because I had the earbuds plugged in through the ATR or the AT2005. And I noticed when I was starting to mess with it, I noticed the handling noise when you're like. So I was holding it and then I found basically a sweet spot to where the cable wasn't being hit and I was just passing the mic back and forth. Well, I wasn't passing it. I was holding it, you know, interview style. And I didn't pick up a whole lot of that because there was also some arena noise kind of in the background. So anything there with the handling noise might've actually kind of been shielded by it. I haven't actually gone through and done the post editing for that particular stuff. But I noticed I was sitting there fiddling with it and I was like, oh wait. And then I just basically, all right, where's the shake? And I found, okay, just if I hold it like this, it goes down. Apparently, Boss Jock has a low cut. I didn't activate it, but it says it's supposed to cut down on handling noise. But it's just I think Mike brings up a good point. I have an MD46. I do. I just didn't bring it with me because I didn't know how long I was going to be there. I didn't need it to be gaudy. But thing is, in this case, the MD46 wouldn't have helped me with my batteries being dead the way they are. So I used I had the AT2005. Because it can use the USB for the Boss Jock. I love the Sennheiser, by the way. It's perfect because it's that long handle. I put my mic flag on it. And so when I'm doing interviews, even though I don't do a video show, other people that are doing video, you know, it's kind of like the news stations. You get to see the Matt Talk logo in other people's video. So a little bit of branding there.
One of the tricks that I use when I'm out and about, especially with this mic, and you'll probably hear a little noise as I lift it up, but you know, you can see I'm using the stand that comes with it, which, by the way, I think is a really useful stand.
Absolutely. It a pinch for travel. Yeah, absolutely.
It collapses down nicely. If you get a what's the studio? It's a MY325, and I forget One Studio or something like that. They make one of these clips that has a shock mount that's right here, right in the middle, and it gives you some space in between this part and this part. So it's a MY325. Just enough of a shock mount that if you push this.
And there he goes.
And he's gone.
He's gone.
But yeah, it was one of those things. I mean, I'm not freaking out because I was like, all right, this is not like yesterday. It was roller derby. This is an offshoot of it's something I want to do. I'm not sure how it's going to work in, but you know, now being in the field, it's like, all right, you know, I'm going to have to, I don't really trust rechargeable batteries to hold their charge very well.
Yeah,
so
me neither.
Yep. I'm going to probably go to, and I don't really trust off brands either. So I'm sorry, Rayovac or the cheap alkaline battery that comes with your TV remote when you buy a new TV.
Steam's
I'm going you
know,
Energizer Duracell 18 to 20 pack. I'm just going to keep it in my bag. Cause I typically always bring batteries. I was like, I got the extra recorder. And sure enough, those batteries were toast. So, because I always keep my H5 plugged in at my desk. Yesterday, I actually did an interview remotely. I did two interviews yesterday, two different spots, an hour and a half apart, and then one this morning. And I used a Giant Squid for two of those. So it was, you know, plugged it into the coach's office, had the clips, and it really worked with keeping, because the coach was in a really confined office. And I was worried if I'd have used stick mics for that, I really think they would have bounced off the walls.
Yeah. It's worth a shot. Awesome, my man.
So that's my
thanks for the update.
My Ask the Podcast Coach tip of the week.
All right. See you, Jason.
Excellent. See you, man. Take care.
Yeah, when I spun the mic, it turned it off. And so you got to be careful with, can you, you guys can hear me now?
You're back, but we're okay, like, good. All of a sudden you're like, I'm like nothing, zero.
Yeah. Zippo, I'm just talking. It's quiet. Well, anyways, so that's a nice portable rig. If you're going to, you know, just take that stand that comes with the 2100, pair it up with a MY325 little shock mount, and then hold the stand collapsed. And that actually will insulate you from some of that handling noise. And then if you need to set it down on a table, you can just pop the stand out and bam, pop it right down. So
that's it.
It's a good combo to have in your bag.
I always forget to do this in the middle of the show. We're actually, we're cranking right along here. But we're at askthepodcastcoach.com/live. We were actually up to 41 people at one point.
Yeah, we're at 40 right now.
Yeah, very, very cool. So we're here every Saturday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Want to go back just a second to intros because Craig Wieland had asked a question. Does a well-produced quality intro look good to sponsors?
Mm.
I would think so. I mean,
yeah,
it's that whole, would you buy a car from somebody in a tent? You know, it may not be there tomorrow. Where to me, it just gives that, and that doesn't mean if you don't have an intro, you don't sound professional. It's just icing on the cake, I think, for me. What do you think, Jim?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're expecting it, to be honest with you, and get them out of the way in the beginning. And that's one of the things, you know, on our network that I'm on, I had the guy who runs the network contact me and say, hey, one of the shows isn't doing what, you know, we require you say, and this is a part of the Geeks Network, you can find. And this show and many other great podcasts at thegeeksnetwork.com. We would kind of require that to be on our network. If you're not getting that in the first 2 minutes, like that's what we listen for. You know, we go, I'm not going to listen to the whole podcast to hear it. That's kind of our, that's where we put it. So I think the beginning gives you an opportunity to get some of those things in and out of the way. The balance in it is how much is too much. You know, and we were talking about Leo Laporte, and, you know, I just fast forward through the first 5 minutes because I know all it's his, the music, and he's right. Thanking his sponsors and blah, blah, blah. And I just skip through it. So that's what he has to do to get the bills paid. And so for him, he doesn't really have much of a choice in that. So I think it's tough. You got to go with what works best for you, right?
Yeah, I know. Most pre-roll stuff, especially if it's an ad, like the Mark Maron's and stuff, it's usually like, hey, today's show is brought to you by Squarespace, yada, 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 blah, blah, blah. And then, boom, those are usually 15 seconds.
Right.
I read a
right.
thing on crazyegg.com. They were saying the average attention span is now like 8 seconds. I was like, that's insane.
I'm like... Well, I think if it's good, yeah. I think there's just so much stuff out there. I was watching, I was coming home from Portland, and I now United offers free movies. You just connect to their Wi-Fi, and they have a gigantic selection of movies. And I was watching this new movie, not new, but newer, called Fury. It's the new one with, what's his name? Brad Pitt. Hmm. And man, I tell you what, all of a sudden, I was in Denver. Like, it was super interesting, and it was one of those moments, if it's really good, people will lose themselves in it. And sure. and so if it's boring, then 8 seconds and they're gone.
That's it.
And so you got to provide some great content, and what that is up to you. I mean, do you have it or don't you from that standpoint?
I see the question. I don't see who asked it. That's interesting. Do you ever use anything like the Blue Mikey when in a pinch? I think when in a pinch, I will use anything. In a pinch – you can actually get a good recording by hitting, you know, record and putting the phone in between the two of you. It's, you know, it's amazing.
You might get a better recording there than now you'll get on most condenser mics if you're trying to use them in a public forum, right? I mean, you take a Blue Yeti and you put it in the middle of a conference hall and you try and talk into that thing. Oh, the sound is going to be awful, right? I mean, you're going to hear everything. But the iPhone is intended to cut most of that stuff out. And so that's why it's so good in that kind of setting. Where in a studio like this, if we're using iPhones, well, not so great. So, you know, right tool for the right job. But in a pinch, yeah, why not?
The other thing that's getting a lot of play, I'll put a link in the show notes. Here's and we've talked about this per nauseum. So I almost, there is a part of me that's going, but don't use unlicensed music in your podcast. There's a whole thing about SoundCloud pulled down. This poor, you know, poor podcaster got banned by SoundCloud. Yeah, they got three strikes for playing music that's not theirs. I'm like, it's not poor podcaster. It's like, who are the idiots that are doing this? And what they thought, how they thought they got around it is the people on SoundCloud did a mashup, you know, wicka wicka, and they mixed it up. And then they said, we have Creative Commons licensing of this. Well, guess what? They didn't. I mean, I can say I'm a unicorn. I'm not. And so, you know, I'm the king of the world. Guess what? I'm not. I can say it all you want. And if you didn't make the music, come on now. Do we not know what illegal music is these days? And it doesn't matter if it's 10 seconds or 5 seconds or 3 seconds. If you want to get into the world of fair use, have fun. Because that does remember, that means you have to defend yourself. And the last time I checked, buying a lawyer ain't cheap. And so there's a big article on this, and they make it sound like poor little podcast. And then you read it and they're like, they told him, hey, this is this, that. And part of the reason this is happening is SoundCloud bought some company that basically Shazams, for lack of a better phrase, all the audio on their system. And they gave them multiple warnings. It said, hey, we pulled this one episode off. And then they did it again. We pulled that other episode off. Please quit doing that. And on the third one, they went, you're done. So, and they do make a point that in the term SoundCloud kind of says you're responsible. Like if you're playing wrong music, I'm going to send the people after you. But in the end, they're kind of responsible. And plus, I think they said Sony Music was coming after them. Well, yeah. So
SoundCloud is such a mess right now. I mean, what a messy. They've got some issues going forward. It's not good for them. Hopefully, and I know a lot of people have gone out there and have using it as their primary, you know, the primary media provider. But if it were me, yeah. I would start looking for to use Jason Bryant's term, I'd start looking for a backup here real soon.
Yeah, and there was somebody else in one of the Facebook groups, because I always get here early and look at what people are talking about. There was somebody that was trying to submit their podcast to iTunes and was getting an error message. And the first thing everybody said is, oh, you're using SoundCloud. Have fun with that. Because their feeds are somewhat known to be buggy. And it just not a great well, they used to have a pretty player. They still, I guess it is pretty, but it doesn't play.
It's still okay. It doesn't still play, does all right.
Doesn't play in Facebook anymore. And all that other fun-filled stuff.
The great stuff about SoundCloud is their social interaction on the player itself. So if you're on the site, you can make comments in a particular section of a song or whatever. I wish we could lift some of that social interaction, which, by the way, I think is the next level for podcasting, is getting social interaction. And this is where Clamor is getting it early, which is they have these 18-second clips where you get social interaction around them. And, you know, like Dave, right now I want to pull that clip of you saying, you know, I'm a unicorn, like you just said. Right. I'm going to pull that clip out, by the way, make that a ringtone when you call me. But I think SoundCloud did get it right. Now, they've moved away from it in the last 3 to 5 years. They've kind of really moved away. But they're so good at social interaction in the midst of the audio clip. That I think that is something. I think a week or two ago, somebody asked about what do you think the future of podcasting is. I think that might be an element in being able to interact or comment in a section on audio or video right in that spot. And that's because it's what we do live, right? All these chat, everybody gets to comment right while we're talking about it. So that part is good. I just think they're in a quandary. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they can come out on the other side of this in one piece and still doing what they do. It would not surprise me if they just shut down at some point.
Yeah, I think my answer is going to be I think they get purchased by the record labels and then the record labels turn off downloads. That's my official prediction on that. Keenan asked in the chat room, what do you think about Blog Talk Radio? Used to hate them. Here's the thing with Blog Talk Radio. If you have to have a podcast with a phone call in line, in my opinion now, best service on the planet. If you're looking for interaction, you might want to use a Blab. But if your audience isn't that technical, Blab might not be a good solution. They do not have a redirect. You have to ask for one. So if you ever want to leave, but in the past, it was really hard. And per Jay Soderberg, he said, no, if you want to leave Blog Talk Radio, you can ask and they will move you. So I used to be very anti. I still think they're overpriced. But if you need a phone call in line, absolutely hands down. So, and that's the best, easiest solution as well. Great interface for that. So, but if you're just doing a podcast and you don't need a phone call in line, because also remember with the phone call in line, not everybody calls in and you don't have an audience to pick on. So, but, yeah, I've been a big fan of that. And then what was the other question? Because of course, you know, the one thing that makes questions come in, Jim, is when we start getting ready to end the show.
Two minutes till and everybody wants to get their questions.
How about jingles bought on Audio Jungle? Seems that you may not use it in a jingle or intro that's used in each episode. Check. I would ask them. We actually had this episode, a couple questions ago. We had this question a couple episodes ago. Their terms are a little blurry. I know I've used it in that. There's a weird thing, like if you get over 1 million downloads or there's a number, like if you go over so many downloads, ask them would be, I'd have to go over and check. Cause I remember we looked into those and it was like, that is a little crazy. That's one of my favorite places for music. It seems, affordable, which is kind of cool. But, at any rate,
I just try not to use music.
Yeah. Jim goes the indie route. Get yourself an indie musician and,
Or just limit it. Like, just don't, you know, there's, unless you want to mess with it.
Yeah, that gets a little, Pond 5. There's a name I haven't heard in a while. But if you're new to listening live, as we have 41 people here, don't go anywhere. It sounds like we're leaving. We're not. And what we do is we do a post show for about another 20, 30 minutes. And that's available to our awesome supporters who don't make it here live. You can go to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome, where there's actually a cool video I added there. If you want to see Spreaker apps versus Libsyn apps, it's part of the bonus content. So we cut it at an hour, and then we do a little more, and that's for anyone. If you'd like to support the show, go over to askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And I need to go over and get the names of those people. We can start listing them here as well. Something we just started. But thanks so much. Jim, anything? Where are you going to be next week?
I'm at home next week. Thank goodness.
Back to the bookcase. Absolutely. And you can find Jim over at
TheAverageGuy.tv.
There you go. And also, speaking of Spreaker apps, you can just go to HomeGadgetGeeks.com and download Jim's app. You can find me at SchoolOfPodcasting.com. Don't forget, you can use the coupon code ASK20 as an ASK20 and save when you sign up at the schoolofpodcasting.com. And I'm talking too fast because I have 35 seconds of stuff to, I guess we should all just dance at this point. Something of that nature. Thanks to Jason Bryant. Thanks to Miss Eileen for chiming in. And Michael Ray, thank you so much. LastPass.com is their LastPass. Yeah, that's the address.
LastPass.com for the password protection, the password storage stuff.
But we are here every Saturday. AskThePodcastCoach.com/live, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. We will see you next week.